back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is Andrew Schaefer. He's the pride of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and a New York Times bestselling author whose new book, Hope Never Dies, is now available in paperback from Quirk Books. This is a mystery, and it pairs President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden in the post-White House years as this crime-fighting duo. Biden learns from Obama that Finn Donnelly, an Amtrak conductor, died in a suspicious accident. The body is found on train tracks and a bag of heroin is in his pocket. Biden knew Donnelly because he'd seen him every day while riding the train from Wilmington, Delaware to Capitol Hill during Biden's time in Congress. Police find on Donnelly's desk a piece of a map leading right to Biden's house, so the two former public servants from the highest levels of the federal government, now both private citizens, team up to run down this mystery. Andrew, I didn't know what to make of this book when it first arrived. From the cover, it looks like one of those old Pulp Fiction detective novels from the 50s. President Bill Clinton recently co-wrote a fiction book with James Patterson, and now Obama and Biden are characters in this mystery novel. Parody is your forte, but how do you go about pitching a book with this type of idea, because it's completely novel?
Well, it was a very interesting pitch. It was while the Obama and Biden bromance memes were kind of going around the internet during their last month in office, and I'd had an idea floating around for a while to do a Joe Biden book, just because he looked so much like an action hero with those aviator shades on. And I just sent an email to my agent and I said, "What do you think, about Obama Biden detective story?" And she just sent an email back that said, "OMG." And then she sent another email that said, "Wait, are you serious?" I was like, "Of course I'm serious." So we found the great publisher, Quirk Books, who's published a lot of other sort of weird ideas like that, like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So it was really a great sort of a synergy between myself and then the publisher here to get this off the ground.
Well, before we had 24-hour news stations, the presidency always seemed very removed from everyday life, and now we know pretty much day-to-day everything the president and vice president do, whether it's important or not. What is it about this relationship between Obama and Biden that resonates with so many people, that turned into this bromance?
Well, you know, if they started off, they weren't the best of friends. They were sort of antagonists. And even when they were in the Senate, Obama thought that Biden was just this curmudgeonly old stick in the mud, and Biden thought that Obama was this this windy politician from Chicago. And once they got to know each other, which was basically on the campaign trail, and then when they were in office, they had lunch together once a week for 8 years. And I think people could see that they built up a real friendship there, and that doesn't happen with presidents and vice presidents.
As you write Biden, the character in the book, what challenges did you face? Because he's no spring chicken. I think he's in his mid-70s, and he's out there fighting crime.
The great thing about that was it was actually easy to write someone who was in his 70s like Biden, because for one thing, he's in great shape for his age. And then also, I just sort of hobbled him with the same bum knee that I have and some of the same health issues and stuff. I was like, I know how to write this guy.
Well, Biden is the narrator of the book. Obama is the cool cat partner. It's kind of like a Dr. Watson to Sherlock Holmes. And how did using Biden as the narrator help you make the story flow into the excitable one as the narrator?
Well, the interesting thing about that is that you can't really get into Barack Obama's head. I originally tried to write it from both of their perspectives, almost like you read a romance novel with the hero and the heroine, because it is a bromance, and it's about these two characters and their relationship. But after trying that, I realized you can't get into Barack's head. It's just he's so enigmatic, and that's how he works best as a character. And I think that's also, of course, how Sherlock Holmes works best as a character. You don't want to know exactly how his mind works, but you can always imagine it as being just this fantastic, wild place inside there that you don't really want to go.
Did the Bidenisms that we've all come to know over the last several years, last decade or so, did those help you in getting into Biden's head?
Oh, absolutely. I read a couple of his memoirs and then a book called The Book of Joe. by Jeff Wilser, which is all the Bidenisms and that he's said over the years, and really, you know, there some of them are cliches, and some of them are completely novel, weird sayings, you know, that he says. But that really gets you into the mindset of a guy who, you know, like Biden, has been. It gives him a lot of character.
I mentioned Cedar Rapids in the opening. You grew up there. How'd you find that experience? Were you a class clown type guy in school?
I wasn't a class clown. The fun thing about being someone who could write was that I could kind of fly under the radar as far as being funny in class goes. I didn't have to be funny every day, but I would write like comics and stories and pass them around class, and those would get a reaction. And it was always the class clown that got in trouble, though, but never the quiet kid in the back of the room passing his stories around.
What high school did you go to?
Prairie High School.
Oh, way on the south end then.
Yeah.
So I know you took a summer course at the Iowa Writers Workshop. It's a great institution, produced so many fantastic writers. I've talked to a lot of people that have graduated from there with an MFA, but what was the summer course like?
The summer course was great because I realized that I wasn't MFA material. It was one of those things where I was like, you know, I could take the summer course and I'll see if I really want to go on to do an MFA here eventually. And I realized that the writing that it was sort of geared towards was more literary fiction. And at the time, you know, I didn't want to write that, and I still don't want to write that. I was like, I want to write mysteries. I want to write funny books. And it took me a while, but I sort of found my own path, which was, but I really loved the experience. It was really helpful as in terms of, you know, writing craft and everything, but I just thought, you know, it just wasn't for me, ultimately.
Are the summer students, are they sort of a lower class citizen than the MFA students there?
You know, we didn't have much interaction with the MFA students, but I was actually, like, housemates with several MFA students, so I knew a lot of them over time. You know, no one's a second-class citizen in town as long as you, you know, all drink at the same bar. So, you know, there are a lot of writers in town that have never been to the MFA program that, you know, you can hang out with these students and professors and whatnot. And I did that for a number of years and just, you know, absorb the writing experience, but it was mostly just beer.
Well, you also studied at Second City in Chicago, and what did that teach you about comedy writing?
The Second City teaches improv, and so it really teaches you to be in the moment, and that's something that's really important for writing, and I guess you wouldn't really think about that off the top of your head, but they teach, you know, they've taught a lot of people, pretty much everybody that's gone on to, you know, like Saturday Night Live and stuff. But they really just teach you to be in the moment. And it's not about being funny, but being funny is sort of a side effect of being in the moment. So I learned a ton of stuff there, and I was just there for like three semesters. So again, I guess you could look at this and say, it sounds like you go to a bunch of places and then you drop out after a while. Well, yeah, kind of.
Well, I know you also own a greeting card company. A while back, I got a Christmas card that I didn't realize the connection with you, but it was a Christmas card that had a picture of the manger scene, and it was Mary telling Joseph that she had to tell him something about the baby because it was a paternity test joke. And I laughed out loud when I read it, but you've got this card company. You've got Valentine's Day cards, divorce, summer solstice cards. What's the market for such an outside-the-box product like that?
There is no market. you know, the fun thing about not really having a market and just selling these online is I can sell whatever I want, and they're called Order of Saint Nick greeting cards. And I could sell stuff that, you know, you would never see at Target or Walmart or something, or even at a specialty greeting card store. But because they were so outside of the box, they got me recognized on, like, the Colbert Report, and I got a bunch of national news out of those cards, which eventually led to my first book deal, in fact.
Well, everything happens kind of for a reason, I guess. But this book is Hope Never Dies. It's an Obama-Biden mystery. And it was really, really funny and well-written. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Quirk Books. Andrew Schaefer is the author. Andrew, great work here. Thanks for sharing it with us, and thanks for spending some time with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.